get her up to the stage. Alrighty, thank you, Mitch. And you're probably wondering, what are those tables behind me that were? You'll find out in a minute. Around about this time of the year, as I've said in the prayer, you know, sometimes people go away because it's kind of still that holiday-ish time of the year, but we're starting to creep towards February. You know, sooner or later things are going to get started again for the year. So I sort of have a bit of a ceremony that I do around about early January each year. Because you can't remain in the Christmas New Year malaise forever. You may disagree with that, but, you know. I can't anyway. I can't remain in holiday mode. So what I like to do is I like to give myself one last indulgent sort of stuff the consequences treat of the Christmas New Year period. And usually every early January at some point, and it's usually the New Year's test match, so the Sydney test, when it's not raining, I will go and I will get myself KFC. And it's my big splurge for the year. So last Sunday after church, the first day of the test was on, and Alicia was out in the afternoon having lunch with the young adults at Coventry. So Josh and I, we drove down to KFC. I said, Josh, we're going to have to visit the Colonel. Dad's got to do his thing. But it's also my yearly reminder that I can't just have KFC on the couch watching cricket for the rest of the year, right? At some point, I've got to get back to a healthy rhythm. I've got to show some discipline to get ready for another year. And so it's kind of my last hurrah. And then Monday morning, I was back in the gym and having a healthy lunch with an iced latte and stuff like that. Because there is a time to kind of move out of the malaise, to get back to discipline, a time to commit, a time to prepare for the year to come. And because we are a church that wants to move forward in our relationship with God and our fruitfulness, I know you guys can handle a sort of a bit more of a meat and veg kind of sermon this week. This is not so much KFC, this is more a bit of a health kick. So let's go. I want to continue from last week by reading the verses that we were looking at last week in part one. It's on YouTube if you missed it. And go back and have a look. And then we'll slide into the particular verses we're looking at this week. So we're in 2 Peter chapter 1. It's on the screen, but if you've got your Bible app or your Bible, feel free to open to it. It says this from verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, that is the promises, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We'll just pause there for a sec. And last week we talked about how the world that the Apostle Peter is talking about is really kind of that economic engine room of Rome, the provinces all strung out in a line just south of the Black Sea and just north of the Mediterranean Sea. And this commerce and trade and ultimately greed shaped their existence for anyone living in this region, which is his audience. And so from verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort. So there is some effort involved. We're back into training. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness and to goodness, knowledge and to knowledge, self-control and to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. But he says, for this reason. For what reason? For what reason? Well, you would notice that our reading this morning follows in response to what we discussed last week regarding the promises of God. Last week, we established that we have every single spiritual resource that we need to deal with whatever is coming in 2026 through the promises of God in the Scriptures. Who got a little piece of paper with a promise of God last week? Yeah. Have you been looking at it during the week? I hope it's encouraged you. If you didn't get one, if you weren't here last week, I decided to bring the box back so you can get one after the service today. It is amazing what dwelling on, what meditation on the promises of God does to our heart. But God gives us these promises because He's actually invested in us. He actually really wants our ultimate good. And that's counter to the voice of evil since day dot. I mean, what did the serpent say? Did God really say? What's he saying in Genesis 3 there? He's saying, you know, if you really trust God, you're going to miss out on something. He doesn't really want your best life, your health, your spiritual, emotional, mental health. He doesn't want that. You're going to miss out on something if you really trust God. No, the truth is God wants our ultimate good. Romans 8:31 says, here's one of the promises. What should we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, you can finish the sentence. Who could be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? This is important. This is good news. And we need to point it out. Why? Well, imagine two people come to you, because I've had more than one person come to me and say something like this. Two people come to you and they say, this year, I'm going to read the Bible from cover to cover. Who's made that commitment? Who's had someone tell them that they're making that commitment? Right? Now, person one says that you say, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to? What? That's a great idea, but why do you want to do that? Well, person A says, because you know what? I haven't done it and I feel that I should. Right, that's person A. Person B, when you say, oh, that's great, why do you want to do that? They say, because I believe that if I really invest in reading the Bible, God is going to show up and He is going to speak to me and He is going to change my life. I believe God is good. I believe God wants to speak to me and I believe He will speak if I'm available to hear from Him. Out of person A and out of person B, which one is probably more likely to accomplish the goal? B. B, because they want to. Person A is, I've got to do this. But it's going to be person B. Yeah, it's both an act of obedience. But B is obedience based on a desire, a belief that God is good. You see, we're never going to embrace the boring, tedious, like, not great rhythms of life unless we are absolutely convinced that they're worth it, that they're actually worth it. And this morning, we're looking at things that don't change, the things that aren't new, the things that are not flashing neon lights that can be, whisper it, a bit boring. But you know what? As Craig Groeschel said in his GLS talk, it's the boring done well that leads to real fruitfulness, real effectiveness. And the Apostle Peter is saying to his friends spread across the Empire of Rome, make every effort to embrace the basics. This is not going to be a flashy teaching. This is going to be the basics. Sorry. Make every effort to don't forget the basics. Why? Because it's the basic stuff. It's the boring stuff. That's where transformation happens. That's where it really happens. So we need to make sure that we have packed the basics. And I have packed them this morning. I'm going to give them to you again. Back to our text for today. He says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, or I've put in brackets there, virtue, I'll tell you why in a minute, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. That's a daunting list, isn't it? Who's kicking goals in every department there? Not me. Not me. But Peter's saying, hey, but get about this. Make the effort. Make the effort, because it'll be worth it. And when Peter speaks of adding to your faith, someone might be thinking, well, hang on, aren't we told that it is by faith alone? What's this adding to business? Is this a works righteousness? No. He's not suggesting that faith is incomplete in any way. We've just been talking about faith. That is a belief, a sure belief in the character and the power of God, knowing that He is going to show up as the basis on which we pursue all these other things. And so the qualities that we're going to look at today are not just like just additions in the sense that faith is incomplete. I like to think of it this way. We've been building a house over the last 6 months. And before you can add the bricks, before you can add the roof trusses, before you can add the window frames and the doors, what's got to be done first? You've got to pour the pad. You've got to pour the platform. Without a concrete pad, well, you try putting bricks on loose sand, right? Faith is the platform. It is necessary. But we are to add these things to our faith in the same way that you add building materials to the platform of the house to eventually complete the house. So let's look at the unchanging, boring, basic things that we are to pack for 2026. Now, is this zip undone or did I forget to undo it? I think I forgot to undo it. There I go. Now I'm tying myself up. That's hilarious. I'd just like to point out at this point, this is actually Steve's bag. So it's more complicated than I can handle, but Steve, oh, I found it. Okay. There we go. All right, cool. I've packed some items here so that we can remember what we're meant to be packing. First thing, virtue, salt, the salt grinder. Virtue. This is interesting. I know it says goodness in your Bibles, but the word in there is, I can never pronounce it, aretein. It's the same word for virtue. This is a big deal in the ancient Greco-Roman world. You may have heard of guys like Plato, Aristotle, Socrates. The philosophers are banging on about virtue. Virtue refers to a solidity of character, a stable disposition of character, and essentially the goal of life. Living with virtue is living on purpose. It's living on purpose. And it flavors every single thing you do. Have you noticed how, like, someone can be doing something and it just hits different when they're doing it on purpose? There is a difference when we engage in activities. There's a difference when we even just stand and sing songs of worship. When we're doing it just like going through the motions. Or when we're doing it on purpose. How on purpose are we living at the moment? Doing things on purpose takes the same things that we would be doing anyway, and they hit different. So take some salt, pack some salt, pack some virtue. Think about, why am I doing this? What is the point of this? And am I really committed to this? And commit to it. And don't sway from it. And it will flavor everything you do. Isn't it great to be welcomed by people on Sunday morning who want to be there? It flavors everything you do. The next thing we are to pack is knowledge. Yeah, it's a measuring tape. I was thinking about this one for a while, this, but how do I represent knowledge? Here's what I think Peter's talking about. It's not just any and all knowledge. It's not just knowing one and one equals two. It's the knowledge of God. It's the knowledge of who God is. It's knowing that there are some things in this universe that don't change. This is 30 centimeters. I know, amazing, right? But you know what? 30 centimeters was 30 centimeters yesterday. And 30 centimeters is going to be about that long tomorrow. The knowledge of God. The knowledge that He does not change. His character is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Pack knowledge. It's not just about doctrines and wisdom. It refers to the unchanging truths against which everything else is measured. How confident are you in your knowledge of God? Is it the thing which everything else in life is measured against? So pack some knowledge. Next, self-control. Got to pack some of this. Self-control. 1 John 1, I think 5 to 7, says, walk as those in the light. And if we walk in the light, we maintain communion with God. Self-control. Have you ever gotten up in the night and go, I don't really need a torch, and then like violently stubbed your toe? Isn't it the worst? You know where that begins? It's when you wake up and you have this thought go through your mind, ah, she'll be right. I don't need... Yeah, you do. Self-control. Walk as those in the light. It is deciding to stay on the path and not divert from your course. And if you are walking through a course, through a year that might have some dark times in it, you're going to need some light. You're going to need to make sure you pack some self-control. This is my course. I will not divert from it, whether the lights are on or whether the lights are off. Next, I need you to pack some perseverance. Now, what have I got here? It's my water bottle. I've been looking forward to getting to this point because I really needed a drink of water. Who likes hiking? Yeah, okay, a couple of people. Do you just not take a water bottle? Not in Australia. If you want to go the journey, you need a water bottle. Perseverance. Pack your perseverance. What does that look like? Well, the thing about a water bottle is there any point if it's empty? No. This one's full. But you know what? I got to work, I think it was Thursday, and I went to, like, because this sits on my desk, and I went to drink. And it was empty. And I was like, I've got to go and fill it up. Listen, is there any days in your calendar this year where you have booked to refill your perseverance? If there isn't, fix that today. I don't care if you get home and open up a Google Calendar and put aside a weekend for a spiritual retreat, or I'm going to go and do this or whatever. Are there filling stations on your journey this year? It might be a conference to go to that you want to go to. It might be saying, honey, can you take the kids for, you know, this Saturday on the following day so I can actually have a whole Saturday to journal and pray, to sit by a waterfall? I don't know. You know what it is. But is there a place where you like to go? And if there is it in your calendar? Book in your filling stations for this year. Take your water bottle. Pack your perseverance. When was the last time you refilled your spiritual water bottle? The other thing we've got to make sure we pack is godliness. So, you know, church can feel good. I like listening to worship songs at home as well and in the car. I like listening to podcasts. I like content. But, you know, you can do a lot of Christian stuff without really engaging in godliness. The word here, Eusebia, means holiness or righteousness. It's easy, and you can go through the motions and sit and listen to sermons and sing songs while still harboring sin. To not be living a godly life. So I've got some soap here. And it's, do you know what? It's Manuka honey and vanilla bean. It's amazing soap. Because God does amazing soap. God cleanses us with beautiful, fragrant, spiritual soap. Let's make sure we do not fall into the trap of doing church without holiness. I'm going to say that again. Let's make sure we do not fall into the trap of doing church without holiness. Because a hot shower feels really nice. But if you never ever use soap, are you really getting clean? No. We need to make sure this year as a church, we're going to be packing some soap. We're going to be engaging in godliness. We're going to be engaging in holiness. We're nearly there. Next one's actually my favorite. Brotherly love is what it's called in Scripture, or mutual affection. And you know what the Greek word for that is? Philadelphia. You got to pack the Philly. Why? Why? Because it's a bit like virtue. When you do, like Philly, here's the thing about Philadelphia that I love. Boring stuff like a piece of bread is transformed into something amazing when you spread a bit of Philly on it. It's so yum. And regular, normal, otherwise boring things, like, I don't know, think of one example from last year, a busy bee, all of a sudden become really enjoyable when there's mutual affection. Do you know what I enjoyed most about the busy bee? All the jokes that we were cracking and the time that we had doing these otherwise meaningful tasks. So we need to bring some Philadelphia. It is so good, as Steve has already said, to be part of a church which is not, yeah, absolutely, just about worship, 100%. We're about God, but we actually enjoy each other's company. Isn't it nice to walk into a place where there's mutual affection? You know, one of my favorite things on Sunday is actually after church when I stand somewhere and I look around the room and I see an arm around a shoulder and I see a little prayer circle. I see people getting together, enjoying, having conversations. I hear laughter. Pack the Philly. We're going to pack mutual affection this year. And then lastly, the last basic that we need to absolutely pack is love. Agape love. Let's pack love. I say agape up there because obviously, not obviously, you may not know. There's actually four words for love in Greek, and agape is the strongest, most committed, most I will never let you go. Let's leave no one behind kind of love. It's the grit your teeth, we're going to get through anything sort of love. And that's the love that is expressed here. Peter says we need to pack this love. It is the love that is spoken of as being a quality of God. And here's the thing. Love, the love of God, it's this simple. It takes the world from being grey to colour. It brings colour to the world. When we do things with the love of God, when we continually reflect on the love of God, it's the difference between just existing and actually living. Guys, this is what we're about. There are so many people walking through a black and white grayscale world, and we get to bring the colour. So that's what we're packing this year. That is what we're packing. Why? Lastly, it's the key to productivity. He says, for if you possess these qualities, in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as he writes to the churches across the provinces, he reminds them that it is actually possible to fall into stagnation. And when he says you, it's the second person plural. He's talking to churches. He's talking to a group of people. Yeah, it applies individually, don't get me wrong. But this is first and foremost to a church. He's saying, guys, pack this stuff because it'll prevent you from being ineffective as a church. And when we talk about productivity in our day and age, we get a bit nervous about it when we talk about it in a church context because we tend to picture manufacturing like cars off an assembly line being fabricated. But the Bible has a different vision, right? It's no less about productivity, but it's far more organic. And it's in the back of Peter's Jewish brain as he writes. I believe that this is him really just riffing on Psalm 1. And I've included the references in here as we read it. Psalm 1 says this, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers." That's 2 Peter 5 to 7. "But they delight," they meditate, what we talked about last week, "on the law," or the word equally, "of the Lord day and night." That's 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4a. What happens when they do that? What happens when they meditate on his promises and they pack the basics? They are like trees planted upon the riverbank, bearing fruit. Still productive. Still productivity. Each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. We are called to bear fruit. We are called to bear fruit. Fruitfulness. That's biblical productivity, summarized by one word. Fruitfulness. But back to the beginning, the other thing that Psalm 1 tells us is that the key to that fruitfulness is delight. Not a slavish, oh, we got to do this, but delight. And maybe you've made something of a resolution this year. Are you doing it because you feel you have to? Or are you doing it because you believe that God is good? He has something for you. So, what do you need to pack? Let me ask you a few questions as we finish. As you look at these different items representing the attributes to strive for, representing the basics, do you look at one of those and you think, man, I wish I'd packed that in 2025? Do you look at those and think, this is where I'm really missing? What do you need to make sure you don't forget to take into 2026? And for us as a whole church, what are we willing to do? What are we willing to pack in order to bear fruit for God this year? I'm going to pray in a moment, and then we'd love for you to join us for a cuppa in a minute. But you don't have to rush. If you'd like to take a moment to look at these items and just think about what you really need to pack this year, don't feel that you need to rush from your seat. Also, if you didn't get a promise from Scripture last week, feel free to grab one out of that little box there as well. But don't forget to pack the basics, because that's where real productivity, real transformation, and real fruit happens as we delight in God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you want good things for us individually. But I thank you that you want good things for this church. And part of that plan is obedience. Obedience in faith, knowing that if we follow your word, if we follow your directives, you will produce amazing fruit in us. Lord, some of us today are looking at a few of those items, and they might think, wow, I need to add that for this year. I forgot that last year. Lord, I pray that you would help us to hold each other accountable to that, to have a chat with someone afterwards if need be. Hey, I need to pack more self-control, or I need to pack more virtue, or whatever it might be this year. But Lord, I just want to thank you as well that we carry the thing that makes the world colorful, the love of God. That you have died for us, that you refuse to leave us where we were, you refuse to leave us where we are, but you take us by the hand on the road of transformation to bear fruit for you, and it fills our life with color. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, and I thank you so much for the privilege it is to explore your word and to meet together as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.